This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Good morning, America. How are you?
And now, from the studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense, the only show dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America, class is now in session. Right here, right now. Let's welcome this week's host.
Hey, welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. RadioCommonSense.com is our website. Leo Honeycutt is my sidekick here with me.
Good morning.
Leo. Leo's website is you can find off on RadioCommonSense.com. He's an author and prolific in what he writes and prolific in what he says.
Oh,
and
Lord.
We've got plenty of time to talk today, Leo. Hey, we're going to talk right now a little bit about the gun situation. It changes dramatically. There's been a lot of news in what actually happened in Parkland, Florida, and where we go in terms of getting more protection in our schools. And I want to ask several folks their advice here. Dr. Jerome Corsi is joining me right now. He's an investigative journalist. He's a best-selling New York Times author. And he's got a pretty good perspective on it. He's got a new book out, by the way, that talks about some of these issues in terms of what we're talking about, called Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Trump. It's on our website at RadioCommonSense.com. Hey there, Dr. Corsi. Glad you joined us on the Common Sense Show today.
Great pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Now, Doc, I read your article in USA Today where you say an armed, qualified, willing teachers and staff should have the right to carry a weapon. And I see down in Florida that some parents and some teachers' associations say, oh, no, we can't have anybody carrying a gun in school. Make a case for us in terms of why you think that. And I like the headline. I want you to elaborate on it. You're not saying every teacher. You're saying qualified, willing teachers. Why do you think the teachers should be able to carry a pistol with them or in the classroom, something along those lines?
Well, first of all, I know this will be an idea that many people will resist, and it's going to take some explanation to make it clear. I want to start by saying that every one of these school shootings, it grieves me tremendously to think that a parent could send a child to a school and never see the child again is one of the most horrific thoughts I can think of. And I want to express to begin with, my heart goes out, and I have sympathy for all the families who have lost children in this school shooting in Florida and all others. We must find a solution to this problem, as President Trump has said, and I'm in agreement with that. Now, to begin with, I've done a lot of work on terrorism and political violence over my career. I had top secret clearance with the State Department in the 1980s as a consultant, and I worked with them on issues of terrorism, political violence. And one of the main conclusions we found was that you've got to harden the target. In other words, until you think hard about what it's going to take to make the target difficult to attack, you haven't really begun to solve the problem. Because we cannot suppose or presume that we can eliminate bad guys and bad people in this world. There are going to be threats and dangers, and we've got to face up to them. We can't basically say that, as much as I'd like to say, let's eliminate guns, no one has guns. Even in the cities where we have the strictest gun laws, like Chicago and Washington, D.C., we have some of the highest murder rates, some of the largest percentages and rates of gun violence in the country. And we're just going to have to take into account that criminals are going to have weapons. We better and dangerously disturb children, adolescents that do these shootings. And I want to discuss that when we go through this. But you've got to take into account that the target needs to be hardened. And I want to start with that premise, because one of my suggestions on hardening the target is to allow those staff and teachers who are qualified and willing, that's important, not all, but qualified and willing, to go through training and be allowed to have concealed carry on school grounds.
And even pay, you know, you might, if you look at the average school, when I went to school, the guidance counselor and the football coach, the assistant principal were all guys with military experience. And particularly if you paid them extra $500 a month or something like this to do $1,000 a month to pay for training, say, twice a year, kind of update their training, going to a gun range like a lot of us have done over our lives. You know, it's not like you're arming every single teacher in the school like some people are thinking that's going to happen. I mean, there's a balance there in terms of what you're saying over willing and qualified, correct?
That's a very important point, and I want to agree entirely. I mean, the people I'm thinking about are veterans, military veterans who are go in teaching as a second career, or law enforcement personnel who go into teaching as a second career. These are people who their adult life have been trained and are considered responsible to have held and used firearms. They know what they're about. And if you do provide some incentive, and I think we are talking about some additional pay in order to undergo the training, I want it to be a supervised activity. I want it to be, you have to qualify. You have to go through training to understand, you know, additional risks and what your responsibilities are. And with that additional training, I think qualified and willing staff and teachers who are allowed to do have concealed carry will increase the security.
But Dr. Corsi, what do you say? Some people will say, "Well, yeah, but you know, it's the job of the policeman to protect us. Citizens shouldn't be allowed. Teachers shouldn't be allowed to walk around with guns. It ought to be the teachers, rather. It ought to be the police, and we should have armed guards do all this." What do you tell them? What do you respond to them?
Well, it's an important point that, you know, first of all, yes, we do rely on police for the majority of our safety, and that's probably how it should be. My point is that if you take a look, for instance, at the Florida shooting or any shooting, it takes some time for the police to respond, even if it's a rapid response, even if it's only measured in a matter of minutes. In these school shootings, the first couple of minutes could have the vast majority or large number of casualties. You've got to be able to respond instantly, and no police group is going to be able to get there instantly. Secondly, the police that responded in Florida, it now appears, did not go into the building immediately. They waited and grouped. They actually entered the school something like 10 minutes after the shooting was over. Well, that's completely ineffective. And the whole point of concealed carry, it's very much what you see in Israel, where you see the military walking around off duty with their automatic weapons. You see people as guards and armed guards in restaurants and all public buildings. The point is, if someone is concealed carry, the shooter doesn't know who in the school might be armed. And hopefully there will be someone who can come to the immediate assistance of the students and take down the shooter if they are armed, carrying, concealed in the school, because they're right there to respond. They're immediate responders. And that's point, is to get it quicker.
I don't want to cut you off. We've only got a couple of minutes. I want to talk about your book. Tell us briefly, if you will, about the whole premise of Killing the Deep State, the book that you have out right now.
Well, I think it's going to be an important book because what it looks at is what Donald Trump is fighting, and that is this ingrained intelligence apparatus, which has grown and has its own globalist agenda, the CIA, and then as President Obama weaponized and politicized the Department of Justice, the FBI, the IRS. You see a government which is running under its own objectives, that is not following the Constitution any longer, is not respecting our rights. That's the deep state, and that's the deep state I think we've got to bring under control.
And, Doc, you can find that book, The Deep State, on our website for our listeners at radiocommonsense.com. We're on a short leash here. Dr. Corsi, I want to have you back again, but we've got to go get ready for a mandatory break. Sure glad to have you on the show today. Again, everything about Dr. Corsi is on radiocommonsense.com. Doc, have a great weekend. Look forward to having you back in here soon.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Interesting guy, and his book again is called Killing the Deep State, The Fight to Save President Obama. Interesting guy, interesting comic, and I like what he said about qualified, willing teachers. I'm going to come back and talk about that very thing with Leo Honeycutt right after this message.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. What's for dinner tonight? Tired of cooking the same old meals? Could I offer a suggestion? What about Cajun? That's right, Cajun. But wait, I know what you're thinking. Never tried it, don't know how, don't have all the ingredients. Well, I got some good news for you. Cajun Mike, host of Cooking with Cajun, has put together a step-by-step instructional video, along with the recipes on how to cook these iconic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and over 150 Cajun and Creole recipes. And it's now available to you. Just think, you can now cook the same dishes that are served in some of the finest restaurants in New Orleans. And listen to this. He will also deliver all the ingredients right to your doorstep. So what are you waiting for? To order your personalized instructional video along with the recipes, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. To order your home delivery, call 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. Yahee! And bon appetit!
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, I'm here with Leo Honeycutt. Our website is RadioCommonSense.com. Leo, we had that fellow on, interesting Professor Jerome Corsi, and he made an idea about the fact this is so incendiary, this whole gun debate about some people, there's cartoons galore about every teacher in the school carrying a weapon or a, you know, a big AR-15. You know, you better get your homework done or else, you know, and some are kind of funny. But I think I think the point he made was that, you know, those who say citizens should not bear arms because it's the job of police to protect us. Well, in Parkland, the police just didn't do a very good job. There were four armed police officers, including one officer who was assigned to the school as a resource officer full time. All four officers stayed outside the school with their weapons drawn, hiding behind police cars. Now, look, I know they weren't sure where the firing was coming from, but if they jumped behind the brick wall and fired a couple of shots up in the air, at least the shooter would know, hey, there's someone shooting me. Maybe I better turn attention to them and not shoot so many kids, you know. And so that didn't happen. I guess my point is that 17 people, most of them teenagers, died while the cops opted not to intervene. And, you know, you let that sink in. There's four police officers right outside the door. The shooter's going bang, bang, bang. They didn't intervene, but some people are saying, well, it's up to the police to protect us, and we shouldn't allow the teachers in schools to have guns.
Well, and you had one guy there that was specifically assigned to that school. And, you, I mean, come on. This is not the first school shooting. Surely he was trained after the other 17 that on what to do in case something like that happened, and he didn't do it.
Yeah, this is out of the FBI manual on criminal justice from the Criminal Justice Academy. The Supreme Court has made it clear a police officer can let the public take the risk upon himself or put it on the individual who brings the danger in the first place. That's what law enforcement is for, to protect the community. But they have to protect themselves first to do that. That's out of the manual. So the sheriff deputies who stayed behind said, we're just following the manual. We're supposed to stay back. And it's just crazy. And so you've got to find a balance. But I remember when I went to high school, Leo, my football coach, I remember, Ed Velt was his name. He was in the military. I think Ed passed away here about 6 months ago. He was my football coach in high school. The guidance counselor had a military background. The science teacher had a military background.
All these guys came out of World War II.
Well, but there's lots of fellows who came out, and ladies came out of the National Guard. And he said, look, would you be willing to go into a training program, say twice a year you'd spend an entire Saturday at a range brushing up on your ability to fire a weapon. You already have a background in not doing that. You go to a training program. Nobody's even going to know you got the guns. And we would work out some kind of a safety place where they'd go under lock and key. The ammunition wouldn't be in there. And for that, we pay you an extra $1,000 a month. We're talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars. I'd rather pay a teacher that is qualified and have six or seven teachers throughout the school getting an extra $1,000 a month, and they're there as an additional protection. That makes much more sense than having a full-time deputy who jumps behind a police car when the shooting goes off. So in any event, it's just crazy in terms of the options, but reasonable people ought to sit down and find reasonable ways to deal with this problem.
Well, but when you're dealing with people who at random go crazy, and as the saying used to be, go postal, because really a lot of this stuff started in the post offices. You remember when postal workers would go crazy and just go back to their post office and start firing? That's where that term came from. Now it's with younger people obviously going into school. So these are all random acts of violence, and you can't control that because you can't really predict it. Now, in this case, the FBI and some other people knew about this kid, and they knew he was on a watch list, but what can you do about that? You can't violate somebody's civil rights by assuming they're going to go crazy and they're going to go in and shoot someplace up. You can't go in and apprehend them beforehand. I mean, for crying out loud, the FBI didn't even do that for Lee Harvey Oswald before Kennedy was assassinated, and their office was right across the street from where the assassination happened.
I wrote an article that was on our website, RadioCommonSense.com. not 2 weeks ago. It's there if anybody wants to read it. And you know how we always say, see something, say something. Well, as you just pointed out, in this case of Parkland, a number of people saw something, said something, over 20 calls to the sheriff's office.
The kid even wrote on his website, on his Facebook page, that he planned to be a serial school shooter.
And the FBI was well aware of this. It was reported not once, not twice, but three times to the FBI.
Right.
And so you kind of think, if I see something and I say something, goodness gracious, I hope to heck somebody will do something. Because, so in this case, nothing was done. And so you can ask the citizens to do so much. And if, so we're going to say do something, and it's not done, then the next step back is to say, okay, we can't assume we're going to have that police protection. So what do we do in a reasonable manner within the school setting to see that we're protected? And I just see nothing wrong with a male or female who has military background or has gone through a solid training program, who is willingly wanting to do it, who has regular training, gets paid some more money, working out a system where there's protection in the schools.
Well, it really goes back to the individual, because you and I both grew up in high schools, went to high schools where there were some of our redneck friends would come in with trucks that had guns, with guns in the gun racks in the truck. Invisible. I mean, it was there, and nobody ever dreamed of taking the gun and using it on somebody in the school. Nobody ever did that. We never thought in those directions. But there was a child psychologist on, I think it was on NBC or might have been CBS, that I saw shortly after the school shooting, and he said the problem with this generation of kids is that you just are absolutely not, you don't know when they cannot handle frustration or failure. They just can't do it.
There was a case reported in the paper today, 19-year-old student fatally shooting his parents at a Central Michigan university. He's 19, and we talk about raising that gun age. So if he were 18, or if he couldn't buy a gun until he's 21, then normally he wouldn't have a gun for the shooting. Well, he took his parents' gun. His parents had the gun.
Right.
He shot his parents with their own gun. And so there are plenty of guns available. You say you can't buy one until you're 18. That's got to not stop a lot of kids getting a gun. As you said, it's a way of life in many rural areas where everybody has a gun. And we talked about 325 million people in America and 330 million guns on the street. So it's not going to be a problem that's going to be solved overnight. So what's the stopgap? What can we do in the next couple of years to see that those kids are protected? And I would argue, as Dr. Kurt Corsi said, that a very thought-out program, qualified teachers, military background, or solid training, pay them extra, let them be there. I'd love for my kid to have that kind of protection, my grandchild to have that.
Just as long as nobody else can get to it except that teacher.
Well, that's a logistical problem that I think can be worked out. So, hey, going to take a break right now. Coming back with a great guest, someone who attended Billy Graham's funeral this past week, former warden Burl Cain, one of the most noted wardens in America, will be on the show with us. So freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back to make some more Common Sense.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com. Join the club. That's the Cajun Mike Cooking Club for only $9.95 per month. You'll learn how to cook Cajun. Just think, iconic, authentic dishes like gumbo, etouffee, jambalaya, and red beans and rice from a real New Orleans Cajun. Cajun Mike will also reveal other secret family recipes that up until now have never been revealed to the public. As a VIP member, you'll receive a couple of authentic Cajun and Creole recipes a month, a step-by-step instruction video, access to our weekly conference calls where you can ask Cajun Mike any question or comment about the recipe. Did I also mention about our product discounts? That's only available to our VIP members. So what are you waiting for? To become a Cajun Mike Cooking Club member, go to cookingwithcajun.com. That's cookingwithcajun.com. Or call Cajun Mike at 855-785-0222. That's 855-785-0222. 855-785-0222. cookingwithcajun.com. Cajun, right at your doorstep.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of the Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
An American icon passed away this past week. Billy Graham, kind of America's evangelical, America's minister, was someone who counseled presidents, going back to Dwight Eisenhower, someone who made a huge mark on this country. And we have someone here in the studio who actually attended the Billy Graham funeral last week. He was invited to do so. He's the former warden in Louisiana of Angola State Penitentiary. He's a consultant that deals with penitentiaries all over America. Interesting guy who's brought in some programs that are considered by some controversial into what he does. Wanted to talk about it. And Leo, you and the warden are very close friends. And go ahead and handle
okay.
this. And
right.
Let's find out about Billy Graham. I'm
all right.
anxious to hear that.
All right, Burl, it's good to have you here. What was that like? I mean, like, you were one of only 2,300 who were actually invited to attend the service.
Man, it was kind of like being on sacred ground. That's what it was like.
Right, right.
But it was amazing.
Well, we watched it by television, but you were actually there.
I was actually there. I drove over from Pennsylvania. I was had a meeting in Pennsylvania with some prison people there, and we spent the night before, and then it was a lot of security. It was very exciting, and it was very humble. I was humbled to be there, and it was just a great program because of all the people that were there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the president was there. The vice president was there. Melania, I'd never seen them before in
right.
person, you know, till then.
And I was kind of interested to hear what it was the kids actually said about their father, you know, because he was, if there was any regret that Billy Graham had, it was that he spent a good deal of time away from family in order to have the ministry around the world. He was always traveling, but he was away from the family a lot. And later he said, I really regretted that that was the cost of me doing this work.
Well, and first let me mention this. When you drove up to the Billy Graham Library where the funeral was, they had it in a tent because he started his ministry in a tent.
Right.
And it was cold, but it was in a tent, and that was cool. But when you drove up, you thought you were at the Super Bowl because there were so many media vehicles there.
Wow.
That they had them parked in parking lot in rows. I did an interview with Korean television while I was there. I did an interview with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Did another interview with some other people, but it was just all kind of media. I never saw so many cameras in my life.
Well, and part of the reason why you were there was because Billy Graham was buried in a coffin that was made at Angola Prison in Louisiana. And how did that happen?
Well, that's a real cool story, too, because when I got to the penitentiary, the inmates were being buried in cardboard coffins or what have you, provided by the cheapest person, the cheapest low bidder. So I told the inmates, we're going to build these coffins ourselves. Y'all are skilled workmen, and so we did. We started building coffins, and then we started a museum because we had an old bank building, and I told them to move it or give it to us, and they couldn't move it, so they gave it to us. And we started a museum, and in that museum was one of these coffins, and along with a horse-drawn hearse that we used for all the funerals, and we'd pull them with a big horse-drawn horse, have a very elaborate funeral, because when you die, you serve your sentence. So then it's over. Anyway, Frank.
Well,
and Graham,
most people don't know that most people at Angola are lifers, and they're going to stay there. They're going to die there, and a lot of times their families aren't even. They don't even have families left anymore.
Well, they outlive their families because the life sentence is life here, and about 90% of the inmates die there. They never leave. So that's a lot of funerals when you have, you know, almost 6,000 prisoners.
Right.
We got up to 6,200. But anyway, when Franklin went in the museum just to see it, he walked in and saw that coffin, and it's made with treated plywood. It's lined with a Walmart comforter. It's very primitive, but it serves the purpose very well. Well, I had been up to the Cove and stayed with the Grahams. I stayed in their condo, and in their condo, it was very primitive. And they built a church for us here at Angola, in a big church, 6,000 square feet. It's named the Ruth Graham Chapel, and it had to be very primitive because he was very basic. He didn't live big, have big things, and so forth.
That's true. They lived virtually in a cabin in North Carolina.
I was at that cabin, and the front door in the cabin was a door to a chicken house. And he was real proud of that door. And when he showed it to me. But anyway, when he saw the coffin, he said, oh, man, my mom and dad would love this. They have to be buried in one of our kids. Can I get one? I said, what am I going to say? The man's given us about $800,000 in chapels.
Wow.
I said, for sure. And what an honor to have the prisoners in Angola build a coffin that the icon, I mean, God, you can't describe.
Unpretentious to the end.
Yes. And so, but then he said one last thing that was really cool. He said, but I want the inmates to make his coffin, but I want them to wood burn their names in the end of the coffin.
Wow.
So that their names will last as long as the coffin.
Hmm.
Because it's important that it's prisoners. Very humble, because God said visit the prisoners. And he had passion for the prison. They have prisoners, they have souls too, but certainly for the victims, but everybody. And so, therefore, we did. And so we built the sixth coffin. And he wanted six because he wanted one for Cliff Barrett and his wife, who led the songs at the,
right,
at the
right.
Crusade. Also,
George Beverly Shea.
And also his wife, and then Billy and his wife. So that was six. And already we've used three for Ruth Graham and one for George Beverly Shea. I attended his funeral, too. And also then now for Billy. So there's three more. But so they were just ecstatic to get the coffins, and then I went up to see Billy I was speaking at Montreat at the church there in the school, and I went up to see him on the mountain, and it was like almost to me like going up to heaven. Because with a little boy, my mom wrote a $5 check every month because she was a school teacher back in the 50s, and $5 to her was a lot. I think my dad made $50 a week. But anyway, so I knew Billy Graham. He had a crusade at Alexandria. We went, and we had one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We went to that because she loved Billy Graham.
Well, so, he spoke to 215 million people across 185 countries.
He did. But the most profound thing was when I got to his house, I had given Franklin the key to give to him, a prison key.
Huh.
And we sat there in his kitchen, just he and I and the preacher I went up with. We talked about milking cows, naming dogs. We talked about all kind of things. He's a very common man, but he's a big man. I was impressed. I didn't realize he was that big.
How tall he was?
He's just big. He's not fat at all, but he just was a muscular man. He's over 6'4", 6'5", and Bev Shea was that large, and also Cliff Barrow, so they were very intimidating when they went in any group, I'm sure. You got three big men there and speaking for God. But anyway, he told me, he said, you know that key you gave me? He said, I have a devotional every morning with my nurse. And we take that key. I take that key in my hand. I hold that key, and I pray for you every day.
Wow.
Because I know you're in a place where there could be a lot of evil people. You need lots of prayer. But I want you to know that I'm praying for you every day. And that meant more to me than anything. I know my mom would have been so proud. She's already gone to glory. But it was a great experience to be there with him. And all the conversation we had was incredible.
Well, I know that Franklin, too, mentioned in his eulogy that he said, what you saw was what you got. What the world saw Billy Graham as from the pulpit, he was just like that at home. There weren't two different Billy Grahams. He was one and the same. So he was humble on the stage and off the stage.
Very. And so the church we built at Angola couldn't have cushioned seats, for instance.
Really?
No, it wasn't a big primitive seat. And the condo I stayed in was really comfortable. But it was like, you know, what we had as a kid at home. I mean, it was nothing fancy. There was really no leather furniture. We had just...
No granite countertops, no stainless steel appliances, nothing like that, huh?
Just regular...
Just wood cabinets and... So
he didn't want to live high. He was living for God.
Right,
it wasn't what you had here. It's what you got later.
Right.
And he was the perfect example of that. And people here need to really realize that he didn't take anything with him. Nobody does. Mm-hmm. And you need to be a little more humble a lot of times.
Well,
Warden, we've got to take a little pause right now. If we just take a little break right now. Telling our listeners, we're talking to former Louisiana Warden Burl Cain, an international consultant on reforming prisons, who's in attendance at Billy Graham's funeral this past week. You can find out about Warden Cain on their website at radiocommonsense.com. Hey, we're going to take a pause right now. Leo, really interested in hearing what Burl Cain has to say about his religion in bringing into a prison.
Mm-hmm.
Some people think it's the best thing that's ever happened. Some people have some problems with it.
That's right.
I want to hear what he has to say. Our website again is radiocommonsense.com. Jim Brown, Leo Honeycutt. We'll be right back.
Jim Brown's Common Sense. Right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside of our borders. At Miles Frank Limited, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Frank Limited is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box system in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals, or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid foundational storage partnered with the most respected name in security. That's Miles Frank Unlimited. Celebrating our 29th year in business without ever receiving a customer complaint. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Frank Unlimited, a name you can trust.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, I'm here with Leo Honeycutt. Our website's radiocommonsense.com. We're talking to someone who has an international reputation, Warren Cain, former Angola penitentiary warden down in Louisiana, who has traveled the country in terms of doing consultant work, was at Billy Graham's funeral. And Leo, I want you to talk to the warden about this, if you will. He's been controversial in this regard. He has made a very conscientious effort to bring religion into the prison, a prison right. ministry, and he's encouraged that and built chapels, and he's gotten raves for it across the country. But some people
from corrections people.
Well, but some people say he's injecting religion into a public issue that he shouldn't
right.
be doing. And I want
right.
him to respond to all that. I think it'd be fascinating to see what he thinks. And I'd like the warden to kind of talk about what got you bringing the good Lord into the prison activities and daily life of your prisoners.
Well, first I'd like to say that I knew I was going to get all kind of pushback and so forth, and I raised $1.3 million from the private sector, $1.3 million to get Baylor University to research what we had done in Angola and see that it worked or didn't. I needed data. And so we did the research. The research proved unequivocally that it did. It did work in that it caused the prisoner to be less violent. It was safer. And corrections means correct deviant behavior. So the easiest and quickest way we can correct deviant behavior is with moral rehabilitation. If you're a moral person, you don't steal somebody's lawnmower and you don't go shoot them. So if I can get you to be moral, and I can rehabilitate you, and I can have moral rehabilitation, then I fixed you pretty much where you won't hurt somebody again. And it's about victims. So moral rehabilitation is the term we coined to do that. And the evangelicals love it because they want to evangelize the prisoners. The victims, they love it because they want him to be sorry and repent for what he did. And so it's a win-win for everybody in the prison. It's safer and there's less violence in the prison. And so, therefore, it is moral rehabilitation.
Now, let's make a point here, too, that people don't know that most of the guards and their families, as well as the warden, live on campus or live nearby the prison. So you really put your family at risk for the 21 years that you were at Angola Prison.
You do, but we didn't once we got the seminary into the prison, and that's what I do now. And I have
Let me ask you. You did try secular programs first, right? I mean, and you've been 40 years in corrections.
I've been a warden 34 years,
right?
As senior warden, and I did that for 13 years in another prison because it wasn't as violent as Angola. When I got there, I had to have some help.
Right.
I look at the sky and pray for wisdom. And it'll bring you to your knees because you want to make a career of it, and nobody stayed longer than 6 or 7 years, 5, and I made 21.
Well, and we also need to remind people that Angola at one time, if in fact it not still is, the largest maximum security prison in the country. It's 18,000 acres, which is roughly the size of Manhattan, and you had over 6,000 inmates, violent, the most hardened criminals of all. So, yeah, I could see where there'd be concern about your own safety as well as the safety of everybody at prison.
But what about the argument? Now, first of all, Warden, let me ask this. What if someone would be Hindu or someone would be Jewish, let's say? Someone would not be Christian. And they say, are their religious needs brought into your program? Because you have more than just Christians. It's not just the Christians committing all the crimes. You know?
Right, absolutely.
You want to put down all of us good Christians. But
the whole thing ecumenical.
They're brought in. Can they practice their faces?
Yes, what we do is it's like the community. The community is like medicine. Everybody gets the same standard. And so in the community, everybody can go to whatever church they want. In prison, the same thing, because we're looking for moral rehabilitation. And Hindus are moral. And Muslims are moral. And Buddhists are moral. So if we can just get you to be moral, we don't care what religion you are. We want morality. And therefore, you didn't hear me say Christian. I don't say that word. And because it's not what it's about. It's not faith-based. It's about morality. And so religion brings us morality, and I didn't say what religion, because all of them do. So see, that's pretty cool. So then everybody can be involved, and they can go to the seminary, and they can get a good education, and they can be an atheist, agnostic, it doesn't matter. But they have to go to the seminary to learn about morality, because Jesus was a moral man.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's the basis for Christianity and for all these other religions as well. So, but have you not had pushback from, say, the ACLU, who said, look, this is a public facility and you should not mix church and state?
I don't mix it, because it's not, the ACLU doesn't push back, because what they push back is if I say all y'all need to be Christians, all y'all need to be Baptists, then I cross the line. Mm-hmm. But if I don't say any of that stuff and I stay out of what religion you are, then I'm okay with ACLU. And so that's cool. And also, I don't mix any tax dollars with seminary dollars. I keep that totally separate. That's why I'm in about 10 states with active seminaries now. We just started one in Wisconsin, so it's working in the northern states. I've been in Michigan 6 years with a seminary with Calvin College. And so different colleges, it doesn't matter what they are. We use a covenant seminary in one place.
Okay, so let's be clear on this. So you're telling me that inmates can become pastors? They can get a seminary award? Or
They can, because, see, gangs, people have gangs because inmates want to flock together. Everybody does. We work in groups. We're not hermits.
Right.
So in prison, if you don't create something positive for them to be in, they'll be in something negative you don't control. So at Angola, we wound up with 28 active churches, with active preachers, with a congregation, and all the structure of a congregation. So the gangs went away. There was no gang. So the violence went away. We do it in Texas big time. Probably doing the Texas is better than the one in Louisiana, because we critiqued everything we did in Louisiana. When I went to Texas and worked with Lieutenant Governor Patrick and Governor Perry at the time, and we all put that together and took all the problems we had here and corrected it.
Let me ask you this one question, Leo, before you get back in. We have more prisoners per capita than any place in the world, and there is a big push now to cut down on the number of prisoners in prison. Some people criticize that by saying it's just a way to save money, but others feel that we're giving too long of sentences. And now I know what if I could come up with an answer for you, I'd say, look, my problem is to take care of them, whether they're for a year or for life. And that's your focus when you run. But what about the bigger picture of so many people going to prison? Do we have too many people in prisons, or do we have too many criminals that need to go to prison?
We have the law, and if you break the law, you go to prison. And so if you choose to break the law, then you go into prison. So I wouldn't say we have too many or too little. It's just how many breaks the law go to prison. But I know what it takes to get you not to break the law while you're in prison and to get out and rehabilitate. And that's jobs. You can go have everything you want. You can have anger management, all that kind of stuff. But if a man gets out of prison, he can't get a job, and the church don't step up, and whoever, then he has to rob somebody to get a grub steak to live. And so we have to work on that part of it. But we did that in Angola. We used the inmates themselves as teachers that graduated from the seminary because we can't afford enough teachers. And so, therefore, we changed people's lives. And when they got out, our recidivism rate dropped drastically for the ones that we trained in the vocational schools. And I mean real vocational schools that move you fast. Yeah. There's a way to do it.
I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I'm told that you're in the process of putting together a book about your life dealing with prisons, both in your home state, but as well as all over the country, and lessons to be learned from that, and some of the wisdom you're giving us here now. So when can we get you back on the show to talk about that book? What's your time frame?
Oh, I'd be glad to be back and talk about the book. I'm going to Missouri tomorrow. In Arkansas, and I'll be back Wednesday, so then I travel again the next week. So we're going somewhere every day. And so it's good. But I'd love to talk about the book and about prison and about prison reform, because that's what we do. Remember, if we get him moral and he's morally rehabilitated and we get him a job, he'll never break the law again as far as going to prison.
Mm-hmm. And it's Global Prison Ministries is your group, right?
Yeah, we have a nonprofit Global Prison Seminaries Foundation. We have a real nice website, and we operate out of that. I have two employees. And actually, Ruth Graham works for me some as a consultant. When we were in West Virginia, we had Ruth Graham with us, and we do Malachi Dead, and Dr. Christy Miller works for us. And so,
what's the website, Warden? What's the website?
It's globalprisonseminariesfoundation.org.
Globalprisonseminariesfoundation.org. We'll put that up on our website at radiocommonsense.com so that our listeners can.
So there actually is hope for people who are on death row.
There's hope for everybody, because Jesus will save your soul no matter who you are, because Billy Graham just said it.
Right.
And the Bible says it.
That's true. Okay.
Warden, thanks for being on the show. We look forward to that book. Warden Burl Cain, who's consultant to prisons all over America, and we'll be anxious to see his comments on the book, and we'll certainly have him back. Hey, we're out of time. Leo Honeycutt's here with me. Our website's radiocommonsense.com. Hope you guys have a great week, and gals have a great week out there. We'll be back same time, same station here, with so much going on in the news. Leo, we ought to ask him for four more hours. I've got so many things to talk about. We're running out of time. We'll do it again next week. Freshen up that coffee. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week.
See ya.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
The most recognizable name in all of home improvement radio, the Cajun contractor Michael King, host of Home Talk USA, is now available for your next speaking engagement. That's right. You can have one of the most exciting, energetic personalities on the radio today speak at your next function. If your trade organization or company needs a qualified speaker to talk about home improvement products, technologies, and services, even the current state of your industry, please give him a call today. The Cajun contractor Michael King is a qualified, license-tested contractor with an extensive knowledge of home improvement construction and repairs, and is regarded by his peers as one of the top experts in his field and the home improvement industry in general. His keen sense of humor and entertaining delivery will really make your next function one to remember. Call the Cajun contractor Michael King today at 985-641-3730. That's 985-641-3730. 985-641-3730. Michael King at hometalkmedia.com. 985-641-3730. Michael King at hometalkmedia.com. C'est le bon temps roulé. Let the good times roll.
face it, today's electric power grid is more vulnerable than ever. From natural disasters to EMP attacks and hacking, the grid could be crippled for days or even decades in the most dire scenarios. Visit quantumharvest.net to see our built-to-last EMP-protected solar power systems. While millions suffer, you'll have vital power for water pumps, refrigeration, and sanitation. Now that's peace of mind. EMP-protected solar power systems for every need and budget. See our full range at quantumharvest.net.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.